Well, it's good to be back. See some new faces, some old faces. Some faces have changed since I've seen you last. Paul, good to see you here tonight. You look the same. Amen. God's so good. I'm kind of happy tonight. Y'all happy?
Yes.
All right. I'm looking forward to it. It's a new year, right?
New year.
Y'all made your New Year's resolutions?
Nope.
No, huh? All right, well, I'm going to give you one tonight. How's that? Amen. Yeah, because, I don't really ever think about that, but this year I did think about it. I had like a Holy Spirit was telling me about a plan. Does he ever give you a plan? You know, kind of how you're going to lay things out and, you know, how you're going to go work out and stuff like that. They gave me a physical plan, too. So far, so good. Amen. I've passed up the honey buns. In fact, I was going to bring some tonight and put them right down there just to show you all I'm not tempted anymore by those things. Anyway, I'm a little ringing a little bit. Do you hear my ring? Is that better? Oh, it sounds better. Good. Amen. Yeah.
Your verse for losing weight is, he must increase, I must decrease.
That's got me going. I gotta figure that one out, you know. I guess he doesn't weigh anything, or I
take it as
you. It's a little mind job on me there. Praise God. I'm still ringing. You hear me ringing? Let's keep working on it. I'll wait. Is that better? That sounds better, doesn't it? Sound good to you?
Yeah.
All right. Amen. God's so good. Praise Jesus. I'm just excited about tonight. Are you excited back there? I haven't met you before, but amen. I'm so glad you came tonight. Amen. I didn't mean to pick on you, but I'll get you later. I'll get everybody, right? Amen. God is so good. All right, let's go ahead and get into this. Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples that I may know how to sustain the weary one with the word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. Father, we just thank you for your greatness. You're already here, Holy Spirit, and your presence is with us. You've already touched us tonight. I've already felt your presence just kind of move through us and just comfort us. And I thank you for that, Holy Spirit. I sense in my spirit that people have come tonight that just need to be comforted just a little bit. And you are the comforter. You're the standby, and you're the advocate, and you're the strengthener. And so we just ask you to continue to manifest yourself whichever way you see fit, that we would get out of the way and that the head of the church, Jesus, would be able to come tonight and take his rightful place as head of the church. We just thank you for these things, and we just bless you, and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You got your Bibles with you. Let's go over to Matthew 24, and the Holy Spirit has changed some things tonight, but that's okay. You know, you're probably hearing a lot, you know, you go into a new year and, you know, everybody feels led to preach about what's going to take place, or this is the new year and that type of thing. And that's good because, you know, you want to know what's ahead, right? And if the Holy Spirit's speaking through somebody, then he can tell you maybe some things in advance. And it's usually pertaining what's going on in the world and that type of thing. But I felt like the Holy Spirit was dealing with me specifically to, rather than talk about, you know, the events in the world, to kind of like hone in more on what he's going to do with the church. I think that's something that we need to hear. We need to have a revelation of that so that we are in line with what the Holy Spirit is doing in the church, because you're going to make the difference. I mean, you wherever you're seated and wherever you're planted at and whatever you do in your life, that's all divine, and that's all a divine appointment. And it's important that, you know, when people come here and we gather together, that the Holy Spirit imparts to you to be able to be sent back into your missions that all of you are doing. One of the things I think that's unique that I've been experiencing since we've been doing this is there hasn't been any resistance. I have not felt one little bit of resistance ministering, and I think that is a result of because of you. You're hungry, you're out serving the Lord, you seek him, you praise him, and it's just one of those things that it creates an environment where the Holy Spirit wants to move, because he wants to bring us to a place of maturity. He He wants to bring us to a place of understanding his person. And he wants to fill us and flood us with his love. See, the love of Jesus is key to everything that's going through you in your ministries. Anything that comes against you is to take you out of love. I mean, really. And if you cannot be moved, it says that he who walks in love, the wicked one touches him not. And so everything is designed around you to allow this expression of the Lord, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to be released through you so that you can perceive and understand the depths of his love. Because, you know, he went to the cross. All humanity is his bounty. And we have to remember that these people, as wicked as people can be and as bad as they can be, these are people that he actually went to the cross for. And so we have to maintain that attitude that even though someone may not be walking with God, or maybe they're your enemy or whatever it might be, they are worthy to be prayed for. They are your target. And so when you become a person of intercession, a person that will target people, I use the word target, you know, used to be the target of gossip, you know, but the target of love, it changes you, because what God prays through you is sometimes very insightful, because sometimes we don't know how to pray, but the Holy Spirit can give you the information that you need to be specific in prayer with someone, or you just pray in the Spirit. But Matthew 24, what's interesting in here in verse 14, prior to that, you know, the disciples are asking him, you know, what's going to be the sign, what's going to be the evidence of the end of the age? And he basically said these things, you know, truly I say to you, not once that these things are fixed in the Father's of
there. Yeah. So you want to plug in, right?
Yeah.
Outstanding. Thank you, Roger.
Authority. He releases them on the time and so forth. But he goes on, talks about these birth pangs. And the thing about these birth pangs that you need to be you're already aware of it, is that they're just gonna get stronger. I mean, you're going to see more earthquakes, you're going to see these fires. I mean, these things are just going to get stronger. And a lot of things that happen when these things get stronger and these things get shaken is that people that don't have the Lord inside of them, they get shaken to nothing. I mean, you know, some of those people, they've lost their house completely, just gone. Don't have fire insurance. How'd you like to go home tonight? And it's just gone. You have no insurance. You have no home, you know? But if you have the Lord inside you, light affliction. I can build another one. Paul can go build one for me, or I can borrow the money from Paul, you know, because I know Paul's there. Thank God for Paul. Amen. Y'all need money? I'm just kidding you. But maybe I'm not. I don't know. You just got that look, you know, like you're very wealthy. Amen. The Lord has made you very wealthy. He's got the treasures of Christ Jesus. All right, Paul, I'm not going to pick on you too much tonight. So, but the point I'm trying to make is that, you know, Jesus said, this is what's going to happen. And he related it to Israel and being back in its place and the fig tree and so forth. And it's been 1948, so we're seeing all these things start to come to pass. And so, but it's real easy to get caught up in the shakings. It's really easy to get caught up in the judgments. It's easy to get caught up in those things in the world. But our eye has got to be on the Lord. And we've got to have a passion and understanding. He is returning. And we have to prepare not just ourselves, but the body of Christ for his return. And you are the ones, you are the messengers that are sent out into your churches or into your places you're at to announce that Jesus is coming soon and to prepare for that. But when these shakings and these darkness things are coming on, you are strategically planted by somebody that needs to hear the word of the Lord, and it will be in your mouth, and you will see them come to the kingdom of God, and God's going to make a demonstration through you. Amen. Of his power and of his love. And that's part of what we're committed here is to train you and to show you how to allow this power that resides within you to be released. Because as Isaiah saw, it says that the glory of God will be seen on us. Yeah. Jesus talked about these foolish virgins. We got many different foolish virgins. You got individuals who are foolish, but you also have churches that are foolish. And so he said that these ones that are filled, that have took extra oil with them, when the bridegroom came, they had enough oil, but the other ones did not. And so it's very important that you learn from here how to stay filled with oil, because that's important, but also that you have enough oil to really minister to people and to teach them how to be filled with oil. I think that's a very important word right now, is that we know how, you know how, to get filled up with oil. What did Jesus say? He who has, more shall be given. If you use what you got, you get more. Kara was so excited. She was flying over to Dallas. Kara's my wife. And she's flying over to Dallas, and she said, I prophesied over somebody in the airport, you know? And she told me about this and that. And then Lex is over, Lex, he's in Italy right now. I don't think he's ever been anywhere, but he's in Italy right now. Got somebody saved yesterday, you know? And he was believing I was going to go over there, and God's going to use me and that type thing. And so it was really, really cool, you know? And so, you know, these are the kinds of things that you are going to be doing. So I would encourage you to have your spiritual ears attuned and your eyes attuned, because God is sending you to people. And you have to be aware of that. You can't just have your head down and, you know, because like, kind of like I do sometimes, you know, I was getting a sub. Just minding my own, I just wanted to get a sub. I just, you know, ordered Firehouse subs and get my sub. I'm getting out of there, you know? And sure enough, God says, talk to that guy in that car. I go, he's going to freak out when I knock on his window. Like I was going up, so, you know. But that's that kind of a thing. You got to obey the Holy Spirit. And when you, if you think he said go talk, he told you to go talk to that. You don't have to think twice. You say, well, I don't have anything. Well, you have to encounter, so open up your mouth so that he moves through you. So anyway, but Jesus talked about these birth pangs and how they're going to increase, not decrease, increase. So you're going to see an increase of all these things this year. That's not me being prophetic. That's me just understanding the signs of the times and the Word of God. So, but Jesus says one thing that's really important. He talks about, verse 14, this gospel of the kingdom, I like how he says this gospel. Not somebody else's gospel, not his gospel. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. And so you see the birth pangs, you see all the things happen, but the thing that you need to focus on is the gospel of the kingdom. I would submit to you to make that a personal study, to know inside out what the gospel of the kingdom is. And of course, it is salvation. But there's so much more in there that if you study it out, that you'll find out more things about it. Because the gospel of the kingdom is salvation, but it also is accompanied by power. Remember the disciples and when they were the day of Pentecost, Jesus said, "You stay in Jerusalem until you are endued with power. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you to be my witnesses." So the gospel of the kingdom is a witness, but you are empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit to go out and preach the gospel of the kingdom with the demonstration, because Jesus is working with you to confirm the very words that are coming out of your mouth. And I don't want you to think, well, you know, I'm not a prophet, or I'm not this, or I'm not that. You've got the Lord Jesus inside of you.
That's right.
He's everything. He's the only thing that you need. That's the treasures of Christ Jesus. And it's like somebody thinking, you know, well, I just don't have the talent. You have the talent within you. The thing that you have to learn and I have to learn is, how do I release this out of me? How do I get this out? How do I engage? How does the power of God move through me? And one of the keys I already talked about tonight is love. Not the world's love, because the world's love is finite. You can love somebody one day and not love them the next day. God's, everybody's like, yeah, that's right. Wow, I'm in the right room tonight. Don't be looking at your wife or husband. I'm like, hey, anyway. But you can be in love with somebody today and not tomorrow, but God's love is eternal. So that must mean there's an eternal love inside of me. That must mean that I can get in touch with that, because if God's one with me, I can get in touch with that. And when you start to operate in that and start to look at people, not in who they are, not in what they've done, but to perceive them as the Lord perceives them, which means he always looks at the potential in someone's life. Did he not choose the disciples? And look at the people that he chose. He saw something in them that they could become great one day in him. And so he was very careful how he selected. You know, he's still selecting people today. You are chosen. That's why you're here tonight. You are chosen ones. Everyone in here has been chosen, and everyone will stand before him one day, and he will call your name out before all heaven, with the Father and the angels, and your name is going to be called. They're all going to hear your name, and you're going to give an account for your life. Did you do what I sent you in this earth to do? He's not going to bring up your sins because he's already forgiven them and he's forgotten them. And as I've said here many times, as you hear that, you're going to hear that over and over again because we have new people tonight, is that he has the power to forget. And how many Christians have heard that message? Do you realize you've got power inside of you to forget? Is there anything you want to forget? I forgot what I forgot. You know, some people forget names. I have hard times with names sometimes. But, you know, the things that I got, you know, hurt me, the people that hurt me, the things like that. When you move into forgiveness and you get to the place where you forgive and you forget, it's a power. That's not natural. And so, anyway, I just went on a tangent there. So, anyway, the gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached. Now, so, Luke. Go over to Luke chapter 19. I'm at verse 41. So, I kind of established that it's about the church and what the Lord is doing with the church. And I wanted to get some specifics because some of you are going to experience this. Some of you are going to minister this. And some of you are just going to observe it. But anyway, however you used in this, you need to be aware of it, because when you see the move of God moving like this, you have to be able to communicate to people to give them some understanding, because there's going to be some changes, because God shakes things up so that the only thing that can't be shaken is him, his kingdom. So if his kingdom isn't established in an individual, or his kingdom is not established in a church, it's going to shake. And that you need to know that, because some of the places that I've been in, just in ministry and traveling and stuff, I've seen them shaken, and they're going to be shaken. Anyway, so when he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and wept over it. Let's think about that for 1 second. He wept over it. He cried. And like there's one other place that says that Jesus wept when Lazarus. I think there's only two places. This is one of them, and he came in. That's how much tells you how much he loved Jerusalem and loved his chosen ones, and he went to weep over it. He really was concerned, and he cares about his church, saying, "If you had known in this day, even you, the things which make for peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will throw up a barricade against you and surround you and hem you in on every side." And this happened. "And they will level you to the ground and your children within you, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation." And so you can see that Jesus was very concerned about Jerusalem, very concerned about his chosen ones. He's very, very concerned about his church. And so as we get into this further, as we come closer to the climax of all the ages, Jesus is going to visit his church. He has been visiting it, but these visitations are going to increase in terms of intensity, as the same as the birth pangs. And so the intensity, many of you probably already picking that up in the spirit, that there's something that's calling you to attention. It's like a general, you know, gets up before his troops. And man, when he talks, they listen. Because they know they're going into a war, and they've been trained and taught not to break rank. And when they get orders, they're to fight with their brother or whoever's around them, and they fight as a unit. And so you can see how God has strategically planted his church all over the planet for this preaching of the gospel of the kingdom with power and demonstration. And some people think, you know, like Moses was sitting there and they were came to the sea, and the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward." And so there's going to be a move of God, an offensive move of God on this earth such as never before, as a testimony, because he wants to get everybody saved. That's his will. So these visitations, and maybe you've already experienced, maybe you've had that personal visitation. Maybe you've had a personal touch from the Lord. Maybe take the form of a conviction. Now, I use the word conviction because it's a nice word. It's not a bad word. It's a nice word. Do you like to be convicted? Okay, see, he doesn't like to be convicted. I like when conviction of the Holy Spirit comes on me. I do, because he's doing something. He's tweaking me. He's refining me. You know, I mean, I had a coach. He was Italian, and he was Jewish. And when he got mad, it was like blood just kind of mingled. And man, he came at me like fire. He did that with everybody. You know, not all the time, but man, he would just come out of the blue. He just, something he would see he didn't like. And it was like, you never knew. You know, I didn't even know I did anything wrong. So, but the Holy Spirit, when he convicts you or me, he brings us to attention, but he gives us a solution and he creates us into his image. That's why the conviction comes. Now, he's already convicted the world and the sin and all those types of things, but this is different. We're talking about his children. We're talking about the preparation of the church in the last days that marches right up to hell and pounds on it. And the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. That's what we're talking about. And we haven't seen that. In a sense, it has already been happening, but not in the volume that it's going to happen in these last days. And so the Holy Spirit has strategically planted all this throughout this earth, his church. And I would submit to you that it's not the buildings. I would submit to you it's people. And you are the church wherever you go. You are the called out ones. And so this move is something that you have to prepare yourself for, because the Holy Spirit is preparing you for that. And the way you prepare yourself before is just like it was Samuel was taught when the Lord, when Eli told, when the Lord speaks to you, this is how you respond. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So when you are walking around or doing whatever you're doing or whatever, and all of a sudden, it's like peace is in the atmosphere. That's the only way I can explain it. I know the Holy Spirit's there, and it's like, speak, Lord, your servant's listening. And I just sit there and I just listen. Listen to what he has to say. And he has a way of drowning out the world. He has a way of drowning out the problems. Because when you're in the presence of God, you realize that's home. Does that make sense? This is not home, by the way. Earth is not your home. Okay? We're just here for a short time. So the visitation is very important to recognize, and you are experiencing that, but God is going to visit his church just like he did. He came to the temple. It says in Malachi, who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he is going to cleanse the priests and so we can offer in righteousness. And that's kind of what's going on right now. There's a refinement that's going on in your life. And the refinement that is going on, the lesson that is being taught to you and to me, is patient endurance. And you notice how your patient wears out, endurance kicks in, endurance goes out, and patient kicks in. It's like they're two powers that work simultaneously. And I would say that it is power, because, you know, human endurance only goes so long. Human patience is all he has so long. But the patience of God and the endurance of God is internal. And that is what he's training us in. And when we understand that and allow that lesson to have its perfect, its completeness in us, to totally yield to it. And it's like you get a challenge, a new challenge every day. Oh, it's something else I got to endure. Oh, it's something else I got to patience. Are you looking forward to that? I am. I can say that under the anointing. Now, when I walk out that door, maybe you ask me, but I'm just telling you right now, yes, it's good, a good thing. What is it that I have to endure today? I had to endure some things last night. It was difficult. In fact, I have to say, I probably lost my patience, because my cat loves to scratch the furniture, and you can hear it. And Kara's out of town, and I leave the door open, because if I don't, the cat will go in and out, wake me up, and I just don't like that. Well, I heard that thing in the middle of the night, scratch on it. I go, Charlie, And I got up and I got outside and I tried, first I got to find a guy because he's like, he camouflages and he looks like everything in there. And I chase him out in the garage and, you know, and I go, okay, good, I'll go back to sleep. I hear it again. This time I get the squirt bottle. And I'm chasing him out. I'm in the garage in my jammies. And I'm looking under, I mean, it's freezing out there. I'm looking under, and then finally, I started squirting him. I squirted him. I want to make sure he knew that I wasn't happy about that. I'd have lost my patience over a cat. How am I going to do this, Lord? I can't even deal with the cat. I'm not losing it with the cat. And I'm probably saying this because tonight he will, actually, I covered the couches, so he can't scratch on. But, you know, we are called to be a little more patient than that. So I don't know why I go off on that tangent. Maybe somebody else got a bad cat in here. Pray for my cat. All right, let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. Actually, let's go to verse 12 and go to 17. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you which comes upon you for your what? For your testing. As though some strange thing was happening to you. I like how Peter puts that. And Peter went through a lot of that. He's one that's very trained in that. Beloved, do not be surprised. Don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exaltation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the spirit of glory in God rests on you. So the spirit of glory that rests on you does bring trials. And, you know, we have an unseen enemy, too. This isn't just people that we see. And, you know, you maybe make a stand for Christ at work or wherever it might be. And people, you know, make fun of you or maybe they come against you or whatever it might be. It is that. But it's also the unseen. You have an unseen foe. You have spirits that are coming at you to attack you in your mind. It's a warfare, and you must constantly be on the alert. You must take every thought captive, because every thought that comes into your mind is not your thought. The enemy likes to bring a thought into your mind and mask it as your thought so you think you're crazy. I tell people that think they're crazy, yes, you're not crazy, that's not your thought. They go, what are you talking about? It's not your thought. Really? Yeah. Oh, maybe I'm not crazy then. We'll just take it, you know, next time that thought comes, you say, that's not my thought. I have to do that. You ever get a thought just came out, and I said, that's not my thought? Because if you think it was your thought, you think, man, I'm a bad person. Why in the world, you know what I'm saying? This is how the enemy works. But we have the mind of Christ. So we're able to identify the enemy when he breathes these thoughts at us and tries to manipulate us. And he uses it over circumstances and situations that you and I are engaged in right now. And what he tries to do is give his wisdom, his way. He tries to neutralize us. And he's very effective. This isn't his first rodeo. And so that's why it takes the mind of Christ to be functioning in us so that we're so mission-oriented that we can clearly hear, because Jesus said this himself. He says, as the voice comes to me, I make a decision. And my decision is just and right because I do not seek or consult my own will. He knew what his will was. When you're familiar with what your will is, you cannot consult it. You know, it's like, you know, I know when my will's talking to me because I was, you know, as a coach, you're in the meet and you always want to hear, God, are we going to win today? Are we going to win today? Yeah, you're going to win today. Well, that wasn't me at all. I wanted to win. So bad that my will overrode the fact that that person isn't operating on all cylinders today. You know, the boyfriend just broke up with them, and, you know, they're not, you know what I'm saying, all this stuff, you know, but we're going to win, and then didn't turn out. But then there are other circumstances where it was the Lord. But you know how it is, like we get into a war and like that, and we pray, and sometimes we're praying just to get something fixed, But really, maybe what it is the Holy Spirit is instructing us and teaching us in that situation to conform us into the image so that we can perceive as God perceives the situation. And once you have that kind of information and inside information from the Holy Spirit, now you have the ability to apply the wisdom of God. You can't apply the wisdom of God right away. You have to receive the wisdom of God to apply it. So a lot of people just try to operate right in the wisdom. Well, I got the wisdom of God. No, that's not how it works. You have to get before the Lord. You have to pray about things and receive from God in order how to implement it. And when you get into a practice of that, you get in a routine of that. Now these thoughts that come at you, the trial that comes at you, is no longer can you be manipulated by the enemy because you know what to do. You go before the Lord. That's what James tells us, right? So you're getting a different trial. You ask for the wisdom of God. You believe you're going to receive it. Now sometimes, saints, be honest, it doesn't come like right that second. You know, sometimes you might have to wait a day or a week, a month. Maybe a year. It's not that the answer doesn't come right away. It's sometimes it takes some time for us to actually hear it, where it can go deep down inside of us. But anyway, let's read on here. Make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer or thief or evildoer or troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but it is to glorify God in this name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome for those who don't obey the gospel? This is the verse that I wanted to get to tonight. For it is time for the judgment to begin in the household of God. That word judgment means many different things, but I want you to think of it tonight as an assessment. Because Jesus is assessing us. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He is assessing us. It's a good thing to be assessed by Jesus because he is 100,000% behind you and behind me. He not only wants us to make it, but he wants us to make it in a big way. He wants to give us all the rewards that he carries with him when he comes back. He wants to reward you and me. He really does. He loves us so much. And so he assesses us and he assesses his church. And so an assessment is a form of judgment. But there's also other types of judgment. So the Lord is going to assess his church, but he's also going to assess a lot of these things that you see in this city and around the world and all these buildings, and they're all doing whatever. Okay? So he's going to assess them. He already is. But in these last days, there's going to be such an emphasis on the gospel of the kingdom of those who are really in tune with the Lord, who are really following after him, that nothing else is going to suffice. And some of you have been experiencing this. You're just not getting anything out of church. Because you are the church, and you are the ones that are to be sent out. You want to get something out of church, go out there and start doing it. Don't wait for this happened, that happened, now I can do this. Man, I'll tell you what, you got a word inside you, go start a home meeting. Go preach to anybody. I mean, you got preacher's itch, go preach. Don't wait. Don't wait for the bird to chirp and, you know, them to get organized and them to give you that opportunity. Man, you just got to go out. I wouldn't be here today if I didn't do that. I would not. I would be still sitting in the same church I was in. And the guy was a great, great Bible teacher. He was great. He gave me such a good word. But there was no... He was the guy. There's no other guy. He's the pastor. And pastors only, I mean, everybody's a pastor in this country. Everybody. Did you know that? Pastor. They're not pastors. Some of them are. Some are something else. But all they're about is themselves. And don't kid yourself. Don't be fooled anymore. Jesus is the head of his church. He is the head. He is the King of Kings, and he no longer will be ignored. He will have his way. And you, I'm telling you something, you guys are the called out ones. And you have to be fair about this thing. And God may give you a word, because God's changing the structures. This traditions of men are just never going to carry the water of God to anybody anymore. Because if he's not there, if there's no demonstration, if there's no power there, He's not there. It's not that he doesn't love the people. It's not that people don't come in that don't know God. It's not that there isn't anything at all that's not going on. We're talking about the gospel of the kingdom with the same demonstration and the same results. Blind eyes open, demons cast it out. But it must be accompanied with his love, because you can have a church where all the gifts of the Spirit are moving and you can have all the correct doctrine and not have any love, and you're nothing. That's why the gifts of the Holy Spirit, when they're properly taught, they're all rooted in love. Faith worketh by love. Love is the key. It is the key to unlock the power of God inside of you, that when you sat there and you look upon somebody and you let the gaze of God come through you, you're going to be able to look right down into their heart, because he is the only one that can look on the heart. And when God uses you that way, you can speak a word right in their heart and it will happen, because it's his word. That was one of the amazing things that I couldn't, that I you know, just people years ago, maybe you remember Leland Davis, some of you might have met him before. The first word, prophetic word I've ever had was one that's the dynamic word, and it is still coming to pass. Much of it has already come to pass. This is back in the 80s. And I wasn't even, I mean, it was a conference, prophetic conference, and I was actually, went home, the Lord spoke to me and said, go back. Now, I didn't really, I kind of knew the voice of the Lord, but I, you know, it was a big thought that came ahead. You got to go back there. You got to go back there. So I went back there, and I got in line with all these prophets, and everybody's getting in line, and, you know, pick your favorite prophet. I mean, I like Marianne Brown, so I want to be in her line. So I got in her line, and I'm waiting and waiting. Right before I almost got up there, she stops. So then I got to go in Leland's line. Not that I didn't like Leland, it just, I went in Marianne Brown, you know. And so I got Leland, and that guy just, he just nailed me. Absolutely nailed me. One thing I will give you, one part of it he said is that, some of you know that I was a coach, worked for the school, and I've had an unbelievable amount of talent come through, Olympians, all kind of stuff that I'd never dreamed of. But he sits there and he says, I see a growth and development in the youth group. I see a chain reaction, just one after another after another. I see you as a David. He goes, you know, the mighty men that were around David were known for their particular aptitudes and achievements. Those are the people that God, you know, because God was with them. And he was talking about, now it had a dual fulfillment. But one of the fulfillment was what I did for a living. And it happened. Now, who made that happen? The Lord made that happen. He wrote that out. He wrote things out for your life. Some of you are about to engage in some ministry that you've done before, but it's going to be different now, because that power is going to be turned up inside of you, because you're hungry. And when you have the zeal of God moving inside of you, it's an amazing thing, because it's a strength that comes from heaven. It's a strength that gives you the ability to crush the enemy around you. It's a strength that gives you an endurance. It's a strength that keeps you going. It's something that brings fulfillment. And if some of you in here have not been, don't feel that fulfillment, you need to start stepping out. That's that unction. That's that little push of the Holy Spirit to get out there where you're feeling fulfilled. Amen. So judgment begins in the house of God. Go to the book of Revelation. And I think we're in, let's see here. Chapter 2. This is the church in Ephesus. And Paul, in his epistles, wrote a lot about Ephesians. But in verse 4, he comes in, and first of all, he says, to the angel of the church of Ephesus write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, says this, I know your deeds and your toil and your perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men, and you put to test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false. And you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. But I have this one thing against you, that you have left your first love. So that's a pretty hard thing to hear. But that love, that zeal. I don't know about you, but I remember when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I mean, I didn't know what it was. Somebody said, anybody being baptized in the Holy Spirit? I said, well, if it's from God, then I want it. You know, I didn't. No one taught me. I didn't know what it was, but I remember it. I remember that zeal. I remember the excitement and going to, you know, different gatherings and seeing different giftings. I was so thankful that the Lord exposed me to that, because I came out of a Presbyterian church. I always believed in the power of God, but I never ever saw it. But that there was an intensity. And you know, some people you're going to come across, they've lost that zeal. They've lost their first love. But you know, when you're on fire, you can catch somebody else on fire too, when you're on fire. Because people are going to want what you have. Because when you're on fire, let me talk about this. I want to talk about when you're really on fire. When you're really, really, really on fire, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is just pounding out of you. People want joy. They want all the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit, we are the only ones on the planet that possess it. No one else can get it anywhere else. They can't find it in anything else. There's no car, no house, no nothing that can produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And you have it inside of you. So you have a commodity. You have something that this world desperately goes for every day. Every day they're trying to find joy. Every day they're trying to find peace. And you think and say, well, you know, I'm at peace. I've got this, I've got that. But as soon as it's taken away, there goes their peace. I remember my high school sweetheart. I was going to marry her. No way was that going to happen, but that was in my head. That was in my head, you know. I mean, I didn't know anything. I didn't know what love was back then. But when she was gone out of my life, my peace went. My joy went. All that stuff, because I put too much into an individual instead of putting it into God. And so you've got something that people desperately are wanting right now. And I want you to hear that tonight, because you're going to be sent out this week. You're going to go somewhere. You're going to be somewhere. And this word is going to bubble up inside of you. And what it does is create a sensitivity. I call it like practicing the presence of God. That's what I call it. And when that sensitivity's on, now you're going to be aware that you've got something to give to some people. And opportunities are going to come up, because those are works prepared before the foundation of the world, that you might walk in them. You'll walk in them when you're turned on. When you have such an understanding that the Lord Jesus is returning soon, when that is burning so brightly in your mind, in your hearts, it will radically change you. Because you're going to feel an urgency to do what it is that God's called you to do. And also simultaneously, it brings a purity inside of you. And that's what the scripture says. The very meditation on them will create within you a pure heart. Now, he's created a heart, pure heart within us, but I'm saying it will activate it. I cannot get that out of my head. Not that I'm trying to get it out of my head. I wake up. I go through my day, I go to sleep, his return is soon. It's just in me, and I know it's in you. I know you're picking that up. There's something coming, and it's coming quicker. There have been things, prophecies have been fulfilled that people don't even know that they've been fulfilled. All the guys that are watching, all the guys on TV, they're totally oblivious that it happened. It's just like it was when Jesus was here. He was right there in front of them, and they didn't even know who he was. So some of these prophetic words we can make out, but there's some that, you know, the requirements have been met that we may not even be able to identify. And so the reason why I'm saying that is that don't let this thing sneak up on you. It is here. It is now. And he is returning soon. Now people say, well, you know, does that mean that's the rapture? Does that mean this? Whatever you want to call it, okay? I'm not here to do theology. I'm telling you, he is on his way. I don't know what hour, okay? I just know that Scripture says that day will not overtake us. The brightness of his coming will be seen in us. The world will know. They will get a good taste of an opportunity to get saved. They will. And even during the pounding of the tribulation, doesn't the angel preach the gospel? Isn't that what the book of Revelation says? See how good our God is? He doesn't want anybody to perish. He didn't create man to perish. And he's not going to let the enemy win. He just can't win. He hasn't won. He's defeated. So, Ephesians, they lost their first love. They also were, they had all kinds of things going on in that church. I'm not going to finish off with, I've got so much here today at night. I'm just going to do maybe one more here. Go to the church in Smyrna. I'm still in chapter 2, verse 8. This is something that I don't know about you, but you ever thought that when you got born again and you really tried to start following the Lord that you could be martyred one day? If you got at the point whether you're going to deny his name or not, are you going to be willing to give your life to be martyred? And I was close. And it almost happened to me in the lovely land of Haiti. And it was 2002, I think. I went down there. Russell Griggs invited me down there. They were doing a conference with a bunch of pastors, and so I said, "Yeah, I'll come down." So I flew down there and got off the airplane. I noticed that the engines didn't shut off, which I thought was strange. Usually they shut the engines off. There wasn't many people on the plane either, and there was some kind of a ruckus going on in the country. And so anyway, Russ is notoriously late. This guy is late all the time. And I'm sitting there in the airport with my bags, and all the Haitians want to take my bags and, help me out or whatever. My first time there, I didn't hang on to my bags. I didn't want to let go of anything. Anyway, Russ finally shows up, thank God. He takes me to the compound of the church and these big steel doors, and we go in there, and all these pastors are in there or whatever, and I did some ministry with them and whatever, and so we started heading back. And as we're heading back, a gang comes and traps our car at gunpoint, and I didn't know what was going to happen. I thought that I was going to die because there wasn't any way to escape. The streets are really narrow, and all the housing, it's just like blocks and that type thing. And anyway, to make a long story short, they didn't shoot me or anybody in the car. But that was a point in time where I said, people did not want me to come down here. I can't tell you how many people said, don't go, don't go, don't go. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know what? They are right, and here I'm going to die. And they're going to say at my funeral, I told them not to go. And so anyway, we got out of that, went back to the hotel, and we had to go back the next day. And I'm saying, I don't know if I want to do this. This isn't fun. Lord, I thought I heard you. And now this doesn't look good, and so I really wrestled with it. My flesh did not want to go back. I wanted to get out of there, but I did. I said, okay, I'll go. I believe you told me here you're going to protect me, so we drive back, and as we're going back there, I noticed that there were a bunch of tires on fire, and how it is, he could go all the time, but I'm sitting there, and so we get back to the church, and all these guys had white shoes. They had white gym shoes. Because Russ brought a bunch of gym shoes down for all the pastors, so they all had them on. So it looked really strange, and so I'm sitting there, all these guys got these white tennis shoes on, and I'm sitting there, I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And this other Tony Cribb, this guy that has a church up in Spartanburg, he was there, and God says, don't teach them anything. Great. Well, what do you want me to say? He says, I won't tell them what's about to happen. And I go, okay, well, you tell me what's going to happen so I can tell them what to happen. You have to understand, this goes on in my brain. Even right now, you don't know what's going on in my brain, but it's like sometimes there's a couple things going on. But anyway, so he said, tell them that I'm going to remove the leader of this nation. And then when I remove him, that's a sign to these guys here. They're just to go out and really go hard, preach the gospel. And so I shared that, and these guys went crazy. They didn't like the guy and whatever. They're all jumping around, and I'm not a big dancer. I'm in the middle of these guys, and they're just they're having a little revival, this is going to take place. And I go, well, I hope it does. But 3 months later, I got one of the many, I'm sure, that had been leading that country. He was gone, you know. But you don't know, you may have to give your life. And so in saying that, let me just read about the church in Smyrna. And the angel of the church of Smyrna write, the first and the last who is dead has come to life, says this, I know your tribulation, your poverty, but you are rich, and a blasphemy by those who say they are Jews, but they are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. That's pretty hard. You need to hear this, because this is today too. Don't think for 1 second that the Lord is not pleased with a lot of stuff, because he's not pleased. Anyway. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, so that you will be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. Now, it's interesting. How would you like to hear that? You're going to be persecuted for 10 days, but endure it until death, so that you can receive a crown of righteousness. Did not the Apostle Paul know that he was going to be put to death? These guys got information ahead of time. So even though you got the information, you may hear some things or see some things, and maybe you're supposed to go somewhere, and the Holy Spirit may show you this. You know, this life here is important, but it's nothing compared to the glory. It's all light affliction. It's easy to say that, but I really do believe God wants to bring us to a place where that becomes reality in us. We just don't put so much emphasis on the world and all the instability. Everything here is temporal. It's subject to change. You know, I can put this and I can move it over here. I can also move it back. It's impressive, isn't it? So I'm just telling you that that's really where we're at right now. And God is visiting the church. He's visiting us individually, and he's also visiting us collectively. And I just want to encourage you, just stay full of the Holy Spirit. Keep yourself full. Just drink the word, pray, praise, but just release that water that's inside you. Don't hide your light. You guys have it. You're serious Christians. And you got some bright light inside. That's why the enemy is so opposing you so hard, to try to keep you from that light coming out. You know, some days we just need to wake up and say, Holy Spirit, where do you want me to go? Rather than getting so busy about this and that. So I just want to encourage you, you guys have got it. You are the cream of the crop. And you're going to do some phenomenal things in the Spirit. And we're entering into the most phenomenal time of history. Many prophets, many children of God have yearned to see this time that we're living in the return of Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? Praise the Lord. God is so good. Amen. My sister, I picked on you earlier. I'm sorry, but I just want to give you a word of encouragement. You know, when I talked about patience and endurance and how it's a power, you know, and how God tests us in these arenas. Well, I see him testing you in that. Amen. And is the patience going to come out? Now is the endurance going to come out? But you know what? You've got what it takes, because the storm that you're currently in has got an end to it. But the end ends when he does the work inside of you, because no longer will it be perceived as a storm. It's an opportunity. You're in transition. You're a person that's in transition, and God is transitioning you, and that's a good thing, all right? But just anticipate a great thing. It's a good thing. It may not look good, but it's actually a good thing. The Lord will have his way, and he will win the day over and over again. You've been faithful, and you have been encouraged, and you got encouragement. I see encouragement around you. I see others encouraging you. You got a lot of that, a lot of help. But the thing is, you got the Holy Spirit, and you got God, and you hear from the Lord. You do. You hear from the Lord. and your ear is going to be fine-tuned. This is how he's fine-tuning it. He's going to give you the way he's training you. I just gave you part of it, okay? So everything that comes your way, before you exercise the patience, ask him, how am I supposed to exercise this patient? And he's going to say, well, don't scream, okay? Just how am I going to exercise the patient? And when you apply what he tells you, okay, or even if you think it's what he says, maybe it isn't, but you think it is, that's okay. He loves you, okay? Now you're working hand in hand with the Holy Spirit, and your ear is opened up and fine-tuned. That's how we hear from God, is by doing what he tells us to do in the trial, in the storms, in the difficult times. Those are the times we really got to hear him. And that's why he's training the body of Christ in this arena, because when the world starts shaking and the storms start going, we're going to hear from the Lord. And we're going to know what to do and what to say. So just be encouraged, okay? This soon shall pass, as they say. Amen. God is so, does that mean anything to you? Praise the Lord. Amen. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So quiet in here. So quiet. Amen. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Well, you know, I'm so glad you came tonight. Amen. I really am. I mean, you got your wife over there, so I kind of have to like that. But that word recovery comes before me. And God's going to use you to recover things that are lost in people's lives. You know, you're an encourager. You got a word of strength inside of you. You know how to use the sword of the Lord, you know, the sword of the Spirit, you know. And these people, I mean, they need to be recovery. It's not, they're into all kinds of things. It's not just addictions. It could be anything. But I see a word of recovery coming out of your mouth. And the sword of the Spirit just setting them free. It's a deliverance ministry. And you're going to see demons. They're going to be casted out of people. This is going to increase. Okay, so just be ready for it, okay? They're going to manifest in different ways, but it's going to be the same result. They're going to go. Amen. This is the evidence of the conflict of two kingdoms and the evidence of the power of the Holy Spirit moving through you. Amen. Because God says you're not thinking big enough. He's going to expand your heart to be able to enter into this ministry as never before. Now, you're a militant man. I see you as a minute man. I see God speaking to you, says, get up and go, and you do it. And just it's going to be one after another. So I just want to encourage you. Your life is radically going to change this next year coming up. It is going to be, there's like a doorway of opportunity that's being opened up before you. God's opened up this door. I don't know what you've asked him. I don't know what you prayed for him. But man, I just see like I want to be used, and I want to be used now. I'm not going to be sitting on this bench anymore. God doesn't want you sitting on the bench. Amen. He's putting you in the game, and he's sending you out. And I don't know what's around you. I call as I see it, spiritual donkeys, and they get in front of us and they kick us back. Not that they know they're doing it. They just do it. It's just their nature, you know. God's opening up the door. Don't wait for a donkey to do it, because they'll never do it. Amen. You got to open the door. Sometimes Paul, you know, Apostle Paul took a piece of the Word of God and kicked the door to open, and took another piece of the Word of God and kept it open while he was there. Because sometimes things weren't open to Paul. So, but God's opening up a door for you. And anything he opens, no man can shut it. Amen? God is good. Amen. That word wonderful counselor comes before me. There are those who are going to come to you and they're going to ask your counsel. The wisdom that's come out is going to pour forth. But God says, I'm going to move through you in a greater dimension of healing. Especially in the areas of depression. One after another after another. It's just going to be one after another after another. But God says, I am imparting to you the ability by the power of the Spirit to bring healing into their minds, to bring an order that was not there will now be there because of the words that come through you. Amen. God is so good. God says, you put your face before me. You've got down on your knees. You've asked for this. You've asked for that. You didn't even ask for yourself. And God says, I'm going to give it to you even. Amen. God says, I'm going to give you a peace and a part of your mind that you haven't had any peace. You know that place, that secret place, the Most High God? God says, now the secret place, when you go before me, will be your place of deliverance, where I will visit you, not just in the night seasons. I will come to you on a personal level, and you will know that it is me, because I will bring peace into your heart in a way that you've never had it before. God says, I will make you a river of peace, because the river of God is inside of you. I see it so clearly. Amen. God is so good. You know, and the thing is that that there's a hook. There's a hook from the past. And I just saw it just break off and pulled out. And it's set you free. Amen. God is so good. I'm so glad that monkey got off your back. God is so good. I was over in South Africa. I didn't realize they worship monkeys over there. And I was in an area in Phoenix. And they got like a monkey god. I don't know anything about it, but you probably know about it. And I guess the spirit gets in them, and they climb up things like a monkey, and they get up there, and the spirit leaves, and they don't know how to get back down. So, but I was ministering to these people. I said, aren't you glad you got this monkey off his back, monkey back? And everybody's like looking around. I didn't realize that they worship monkeys in that area. It was kind of funny. Anyway, so... You're just such an encouragement to me. You really encourage me tonight. You're easy to preach to. Thank you. You know, you're not intimidating. You just sit there just soaking it right up. God is so good. Brother, you got favor. I see the favor of God on you. You really do. You got favor. And you've had to walk. You know, it's like the river's going this way, and you're walking against the current. Because the current's going this. That's the world. And you're just like, you know what? I don't know why, but I'm just going to go this way. And it's not been easy for you. It has not been easy. But you knew that the Lord spoke to you. You knew your direction. You followed the Lord. And you're going to receive the prize. Amen? Because that was just one test. You know, prophets were like that. They had to do some pretty incredible things. Now, I'm not going to say what you did, Ezekiel had to do, because he had to do some bizarre things. He was naked for a year? Was it? I mean, God tells you to be naked for you better do it. I'm not saying that I wouldn't call anybody, but he did that stuff, did he not? And he had to lay on his side, one side for so long, and then the other side, and then he had to cook some meals with dung. Yeah, not like human dung. And then he said, Lord, can I please use cow dung? And God said, yes. I mean, can you imagine that? I mean, but it was all symbolic, you know? But he had to do these things that were hard. And that's a sense what you, now you had to go through that, but you had to go through something very hard where you had to get to the other side, but you were willing to do it because you knew it was the Lord. You knew it was the Lord. So you're going to receive the prize. Amen? God's so good. But you do have a prophetic mantle on you, okay? But you're a pillow prophet, okay? What I mean by that is it's not a bad thing, by the way. Some people may, a pillow prophet is a soft person that can speak prophetically. And speak into somebody's life in a soft way. Doesn't have to yell, doesn't have to force it, and just releases it and just peace. And God is going to use you that way time and time again. Words of knowledge are going to flow through your ministry. You're going to know things about people that only God knows. And you're going to be faithful time and time again. God brought you here tonight that he might impart to you not just his peace, but understanding. He's confirming the things that you've already done. He's confirming to you how much he loves you and how much he cares you and how he was there when you were going through all that every step of the way. Amen? Amen. That's just the first test. You got another one coming. Amen? Amen. But you know what? He who has, more shall be given to them. Amen? There's a restoration that's occurring within your family. I don't know where your family's not here tonight, but I just know there's a restoration that's occurring within there where there's a... I just see one it's almost like an anger. There's an anger on this individual. And God's going to just take that out and just bring them into a place of peace. Amen. Only God can do that. You know what I'm saying? Because, and you know, the thing about the Lord, when you pray for people, you don't know why they are the way they are. But when you really intercede, God can sometimes show you why they are the way they are. Now, they made bad choices. But when you start to put in the dimension of the unseen realm and how the unseen realm you know, controls individuals that don't have the Lord or don't have the mind of Christ or don't know how to use it. They can manipulate them and make them into people that they really aren't. But you understand what I'm saying? But when God gives that kind of insight, it changes the way you view them. Because now you don't think you're the victim, they're the victim. See, his perception's deeper than ours. And that's where his love has been training you. The love of God is going to pierce that darkness. And now, because you're going to realize they're the abused. Amen? You're protected. You got the favor of God, man. God, you got a favor. I don't know what you do for a living, but you're going to be getting raises and all kinds of stuff. They're going to give you promotions because they're going to be thankful they got somebody that will do the job, not halfway, but all the way. Amen? You just continue to be faithful because it's not man that's going to give you the promotion. It's going to be God because he's watching you. And he's very, very pleased with you. I don't know if that means anything to you, but amen. Amen. Anybody got anything? You guys got anything? Anybody got anything? No. I thought that was Jim Riley back there, but it's not. Maybe he should be here. Sure. Lord, I just we just lift up our president, Lord, or president-to-be. Lord, I ask you to commission your war angels surround and protect him. Lord, also that you'd speak to his mind, Lord, that he would be influenced by you, and that any kind of demonic influences would be kept from him. And Lord, we just lift him up. We lift others up too, Lord, that are in our government. And Lord, you're just turning everything upside down anyway. So Lord, we just ask you for divine protection over your children, over those that are called, Lord God. And we thank you that the enemy will not be able to thwart your purposes, because everything that you say and put in motion will come to pass and will happen. And we just thank you, Lord, that there's a shift within the spirit over this nation. And I thank you, God, for the open window, Lord. But I also, Lord, I ask you that you would speak to your children, that you would speak to the church, Lord, in this country, that they would realize and recognize there's an open window, open frame of time right now, that we're to step in and to receive all of your training, but to also, Lord, to trim up our lamps and to get full of oil and just release it everywhere that you direct us. And Lord, I just thank you for that sensitivity that would occur within our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. There's someone else in here. Yeah, go ahead.
It was interesting this app. Can you hear me?
No.
It's interesting that you made a comment about our rewards, or what are we going to do with our rewards, and I really thought about that. I was like, actually wrote down, I said, where will the rewards he has for me end up or go if he can't give them to me? It will be a very sad day if the rewards are going to be thrown away. What's going to happen with the rewards that were specifically designed for me? And I was listening to Danny, my brother's, this afternoon. It was a New Year's Eve service, I guess, and he mentioned how Zerubbabel. God spoke to Zerubbabel and said, you know, you got to do this and this and this and this. And he didn't do it for 16 years. He just avoided the situation and avoided all that stuff. And there have been a lot of things in my own life that I've been asking, and you know, I don't know how many of you ever feel, you feel like Gideon sometimes, you're hiding out in the wine press, and it's like, I'm doing this stuff I got to do, you know, I'm doing enough, and I'm still hiding in the wine press. But my brother, I called Danny, just we were having a conversation this afternoon, and I called him, and he said, well, I'm on my way to go see Chuck Pierce. And I said, all of a sudden I just had this thing. I just said, well, tell Chuck Pierce that the arrows that he's been firing have hit the target, but it's time that he hones his arrows because he needs to be piercing the arrow that's already in the center of the target. And I realized just a few minutes ago, I said, we've been living on past skills of marksmanship. We fire arrows towards the bullseye. It is time to hone our skills because we need not only to hit the target, but we need to be able to pierce the past arrows already in the center of the target. We got to do this. It says of David's mighty men, they could throw with both hands. They had no issue. They were skilled marksmen, skilled. And you know, some of us have had 50 or 100 words. Danny pointed out that David only got 3. David only got 3 words. I've gotten many, I know, over the years. Gonna do this, gonna do that, gonna get this, gonna get that. Just really challenged. I was really provoked because I was really provoked with, if I don't do this, the rewards that the Lord's already got in his pocket for me, he's gonna have to throw them away. And not for anybody else. And that would be a sad thing. It'd be really, really, that'll be a horrible day. And anyway. You have prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for all this stuff that just got shared. Faithfulness. It's awesome.
Amen. Thanks, Paul. Thank you. Thank you. That was a good word. Amen. That was so good. As I was sitting there, the word was coming up in me about the word difficult. You know, that the difficulties is something that, you know, it's like you run a gauntlet. They have the gauntlet course, you know, and all these obstacles are in it. And everything is just difficult, you know, and when is it going to be easy, you know? And the thing about it is, the thing about the Lord is telling me to tell you is that if you perceive it the way he does, it is going to be easy. Because this is, you're there's a destination point. There's a point, you know, where you're going to be, you're going to arrive. And just know that. The difficulties are actually the appointed course for you. So if you understand that, it becomes a lot easier. You know, when I was training athletes, I would have to tell them sometimes, you know, this correction is going to take 3 months. It's not going to happen tomorrow. It's a 3-month correction, and we have to do it in stages. And the Holy Spirit is working in your life like that. And that's why the difficulties are there, because it's stages. And if you get to that first stage, you know, whatever that he is teaching you, you have to let that become part of you. It becomes you. You understand what I'm saying? He like fills that area, that gap. And so just understand that the difficulties, don't look at them as, in a negative way. Look at them as, understand, well, this is my, I'm on the appointed course. You know, like I said, because Jesus even said to himself, he said, just because something bad happens to somebody doesn't mean they're in sin, doesn't mean that they're doing something wrong. In fact, there's more evidence that when difficulties come, as we just shared in the Word, you are doing something right. You know, you're making decisions that aren't popular with man, but they're popular with God. Amen? Does that mean something to you? Praise the Lord. Lord, we just thank you for what you've done here tonight, Lord. What a blessing it is to be in your presence. And Lord, if there's anybody in here that needs a touch from you tonight, Lord, we'll be here. There'll be others here tonight to be able to pray for them, Lord. If there's anybody in here that you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit or want to know more about it or want to receive it, we'd be more than happy to lay hands on tonight, that you would leave here empowered. Father, again, we just thank you for what you've done here tonight. Bless each and every one here, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you commission your angels to surround and protect them on their way home, in Jesus' name, amen. Next week, we've got Xavier Baez coming. He's an evangelist, and we're lucky. He's a local guy, but he's always on the road, so we're lucky to have him here. And then the following week, we'll have Danny Stain, Paul's brother, will be here. We'll be doing like a mini conference Not sure exactly what it's going to look like, but it's going to be good, I think. So I'm looking forward to that. And then we have some other special people coming this month, too. I'm just waiting to hear back from them. So anyway, I'm looking forward to it. Just be encouraged. Have a great week, and I hope this really blessed you tonight. Amen. That's just another meeting. No, not this Saturday.